So I just got back from skiing, and I'm wearing short sleeves and shorts. And yesterday I rode Shoreline in short sleeves, and it's a really weird time of year. But there's this storm everyone's hyping up, and maybe winter's actually going to happen.
You know, I'm kind of wondering. I mean, it's just so different where we get so many kids that have been riding their bikes all winter long. And I'm wondering if that's going to kind of change the dynamic of things late in the fall or anything.
I wonder.
I think everyone's going to really need to take their mid-season breaks this year for sure.
I'm really interested in what trail conditions are going to be like this winter, where there's been basically no snowpack. Even like we were up at Solitude and I was looking up onto the crest and like it's like bare. Like you wonder how bad the moon, I mean, this might be the season to start chain waxing if you haven't already, because the moon dust situation is going to be ridiculous this summer.
Yeah, because it does kind of seem like the winter and all the melting is kind of what really compacts the trails. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and there's not much. But yeah, I rode my mountain bike yesterday. That was really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm actually, both of my bikes are down right now.
Yeah.
I sent my lefty in to get it serviced, and I could have paid $150 for a rush fee, and I'm like, no, it's wintertime. I'm good.
I'm good to go. Yeah.
And I'm really wishing I would have paid the $150.
That would have been an expensive bike ride anyway. I do want to throw out really quick, even with this storm, I suspect we'll have some more kind of unusual early season riding. This, you know, like trails will be wet for a sec. I do want to throw a couple things out based on my observations yesterday. Thing number one, I rode Shoreline. I rode Parley's Point and kind of normal Shoreline from the zoo. First thing I want to throw out is mud. Even in a really awful winter, there's like a lot of, I flipped it on Parley's Point. There was some pretty significant mud. I could tell people were riding it. And then on Shoreline too, I wanted to throw out, I did stairway to heaving. For those of you who don't know what that is, don't worry about it. But I did stairway, and I had a couple people being like, oh, you did stairway. And stairway, usually the way up will get kind of muddy. So I kind of hiked most of the way up because I really wanted to go down. And usually the downside gets a little more sun. I ended up kind of walking up and down stairway to heaving. So even with these conditions, I do want to throw out that like there's still a lot of mud, but like yesterday, lower Shoreline was good to go. I didn't have time to go up Dry Creek because I did Parley's Point, so I don't really know what that was like, but don't ride through mud.
Yeah.
That's a noob move. Thing two I wanted to throw out really quick is I like if you hopefully you get out, which is great. Like I saw like four different Maybird people out. Do remember that like when a bunch of people who can't really ski and want to go do something outside, or like a bunch of people were on Shoreline yesterday, it was slam packed. And I had to, and obviously not kind of cross country people, but like I had a couple of dudes where I was just like, oh my gosh, I wish I could take you off the trail right now. You are just making mountain biking look bad, 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 bad. I did want to throw it again. Like, you know,
be socially aware,
be smart. There are times and places where you can open it up a little bit and your odds of seeing someone are low enough that, you know, if it's like,
or your visibility's high.
Yeah. It's Thursday afternoon and the sun is on its way down and you're up, you know, like Snowbird Big Mountain or something. You haven't seen anyone in 2 hours, you know, like versus like Saturday on Shoreline with a million old ladies with their dog. And just like, again, like, yeah, just do your best to ingratiate.
Yeah, refer
people
to last week's episode.
Yes. Just use good judgment, please.
Yeah. Especially if you're, you know, I think going fast has a lot to do with your visibility.
Yes.
You know, like if it's a trail where you can just see,
yeah,
forever and you can see that nobody's there at all.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can go, but if there's blind corners,
you get to that corner, you slow down. Anyway, so, did want to throw out that.
We talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
Which by the way, I had so many new people give us the, like, texted me the word crispest.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we got like a lot of new listeners. And so hopefully, and I even had some people say they liked it. So that's,
hey, nice. Yeah. We were driving and Tessa, my wife, Tessa was like, had my phone looking at directions for somewhere. And she's like, you keep getting texts that say crispest. And I had to remember, I'm like, oh, it's for the podcast. That's the secret word. And she thought that was cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
In the way of other announcements for this week, did have a couple things we want to hit.
Yeah, same. I mean, just the usual. We've got running group, Zwift group, and then the strength training.
Actually be doing Zwift tomorrow.
Yeah, Michael.
I don't have strep anymore. I'm around. I'm going to be there. I will be there tomorrow. So
yeah, on one of the rides, Michael was like 10 minutes ahead of everybody else.
He's a freak.
So you need to, Joe's rested and ready for you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, don't say, let's set the bar nice and low. Anyway, outside of that. So really quick, running, Zwift tomorrow, 6 p.m. The link's on Instagram. It'll be on TeamSnap. You can grab it there. Sign yourself up. Hop on Zwift. It will be
on TeamSnap. It's not yet.
It will. Excuse me. Sorry to undercut your credibility. It will be on TeamSnap. Running group for this week. Just a quick reminder for anybody who hasn't heard, you should come. Time and place for that?
I don't know. It's on TeamSnap already, but it was so much fun last week.
Sweet.
It was, I go to these new places like in the valley to run that I didn't even know existed. So it's kind of fun how she does them at different locations and it just keeps the monotony down. So,
did want to throw out really quick on, getting teams sorted out. My grandpa, Dan's father-in-law, my mom's dad, who maybe some of you in the Draper network, if you know the Clayton family, that's my mom's side of the family.
Yeah, they're a very prominent Draper family.
They're around. People in the Corner Canyon area might know them.
Yeah, and in fact, I had people from Draper that knew before my own kids knew what happened.
So my grandpa passed away somewhat unexpectedly. He wasn't doing well, but like kind of didn't, you know, thought he maybe had a year in him. And this week, obviously, that's taken away from our time to do bike team stuff. So that's maybe going to set back getting groups sorted out a little bit. That is still coming very soon though.
Yeah. I was able to work in a little bit, but we had a lot of family things going on and spent a lot of time at his care center. And so I was hoping to have teams all divided out and starting to have a coach's meeting here soon, but that's going to be a delayed a week. But yeah,
which is fine because it seems like winter's actually maybe going to happen this week, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, my father-in-law, he was a prominent surgeon. He was well known in Draper, just an incredibly intelligent guy, and he had Alzheimer's, and it took him a lot quicker than I think it normally seems to.
Yeah,
it happened. It was somewhat sudden, but yeah. So that took some time. And so, yeah, we'll get back on track here soon.
But appreciate your patience with that. So, outside of that.
Yeah. People are asking for the quiz to come back.
And, they'll be happy to know that I did, actually prepare a quiz this week.
Hey Joe, what was that click for?
That click was definitely not me preparing a quiz. Anyway, thanks for throwing me under the bus. I appreciate it. No, we did the quiz. It's been like a couple of years since we did quizzes. I like my favorite. The whole point of this is kind of to humiliate Dan because he runs what's got to be one of the biggest cycling teams around. It's big. I love asking you questions that kind of seem simple on their face and then watching you struggle. I do think we were discussing, you need to quiz me. Cause I think on some of the training stuff, for those of you who don't know, Dan's more like the training nerd. I'm the more like equipment and bike culture and stuff nerd. I feel like I fit right in at Contender when I work there. Like that's kind of more my vibe. When it actually comes to like making yourself faster, I'm evidently not very good at that. So it's less interesting to me, but I do have a quiz for you. Free response this week.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Free response. Okay.
Free response. So first question for you. I would like you to name a company other than SRAM and Shimano that makes brakes. Bonus points if you can do two.
Mopar.
Aren't they like the Dodge people? Like if you want your Ram truck to be more expensive, it's
they
a Mopar?
Make, like car brakes. Okay, let's see. Other than SRAM or Shimano?
Other than SRAM and Shimano. Oh, come on. We've actually had some non-SRAM Shimano brakes in the family.
Oh, Magura.
Magura, yes. Magura, which I will say seems to be a whole lot better than when we had some of the OEM specialized spec Magura brakes that were bad. Can you any others? Xander and Isaac are screaming right now.
Nope, that's it.
TRP, Formula, there's a whole bunch. Trick stuff.
I've heard of Formula, but...
Trick stuff. Kay. I want Trick stuff. Okay.
That was fascinating.
Do you want to keep undercutting me? That'd be great. I'd love this. But your secret word this week is going to be yes or no. Is the quiz cool? And then everyone's going to say no, and I'm going to forget about it. Okay, I would like you to tell me, name a French bike company. There are a bunch. Hey, Time was really good. Time and Look. Dang, wait, I want to cut that out because that was way too fast. Time, can you tell me what's notable about Time bicycles in the bike industry?
They make their own carbon frames.
you're close. A lot of companies technically make their own carbon, like Giant technically makes their own carbon frames. It's not that. It is, you're very close. Your sentence was too long. Your period should be shifted in about a word.
Own carbon?
They actually make, they weave their own carbon, which is pretty cool. They don't buy in carbon from someone else. Dang, that sucks. I thought you'd struggle more. Okay, last one. There are two companies that make drivetrains on the mountain bike side. You get Ceramic Shimano. On the road, there's a third, Campagnolo, which is an Italian thing for people who like fancy, unnecessarily complicated stuff. I love Campagnolo. Tullio Campagnolo is actually famous for inventing what common household item, though? Before his bike stuff, the Campagnolo guy,
the air fryer. No, I don't know.
Why is that funny? That's upsetting when you're funny. That's my job. Got a whole bunch of people rolling their eyes out of their skulls right now. What thing? It's pretty Italian. You have to remember, this is an Italian guy.
The pizza cutter?
The pizza. Oh, no, that's Park Tool. Just kidding. That's a throwback. Anyway, the wine corkscrew. He's credited with inventing like the fancy wine corkscrews that you can. Okay. There you go. Because that kind of has gears, and then he makes gears. Campagnolo stuff's actually pretty cool. Okay, very well done. I'm going to call that you got, I guess, 2 out of 3?
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty good for me.
Sean, actually, you happy? Sean's secret word this week is whether or not he liked the quiz, and that's where we're going to go off. So next week you quiz me?
Yeah, I'll quiz you next week.
I love it. What a fun little segment that was.
I'll quiz you on stuff we've talked about in the podcast.
Yep. Because when it comes up in the course of the podcast, it's relatively easy for me to kind of weigh the context and say something that sounds not totally insane. But in a quiz setting, that'll be nice. I'll be all exposed. All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
I don't really know. You're just looking for a transition there. Okay, ready? Here comes your segue. Okay. Next thing.
Okay, yeah. So originally, we have an interview lined up with somebody that I'm really excited about. I'm really excited about the topic. I really think it's going to be one of the most important episodes that we do. That's not today. We moved that back a week. And so, but we wanted to have something out this week just so we're good at getting one out every week. And so today we're just going to be kind of talking about something I've been interested in lately and kind of combine that with a topic that we've talked about in the past is kind of review. Cause we figure we've got probably some new listeners. While we're talking about this, just if you are a new listener, do go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. We're really not getting any better at this. So, I think some of our older episodes are probably better than the ones we're putting out now.
Probably just, we're not improving.
Yeah. So
we're Heinz ketchup. We kind of nailed it forever ago and it's still sort of the same thing.
Yeah. So
we're not innovating over here.
Yeah. Although let me just caution you to just try and ignore all of our poor audio quality.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Never mind. We're not Heinz ketchup. We're like, I don't even know. I can't, like the audio quality used to be bad. Those of you who are real troopers and have been here for a while know that it used to sound like we were recording in a sawmill with like a microphone full of ants. Like just the amount of like background noise and ticking and popping was crazy.
Yeah, it turns out if you don't spend a lot of money on microphones, they don't.
Then it sounds like you're constantly holding your microphone up to a bowl of Rice Krispies while you try to make a point. So now we have slightly, I want to clarify, we don't have nice microphones. We have less crappy microphones.
Yeah.
Microphones from a company whose name I can pronounce. How about that? Still an Amazon special, but the topic this week, can I throw out a cool thing pertinent to this topic?
Sure.
I am actually an expert on this because I don't know if you guys know this, I'm a teacher, but on the side, I am actually a nutritionist. Did you know this?
No, I did not know
this. This is cool. I'm a nutritionist, and that is something that I can legally say because it doesn't mean anything. This is kind of the point I want to start with. This is a whole world of stuff. Like the amount, I'm sure your algorithms have picked up that you guys are into fitness. And so one of the things that seems to travel in that sort of fitness world is nutrition, which makes sense. People who care about staying in shape and people who do active stuff tend to probably have a little bit more of an emphasis in their lives on their diets than people who don't, right? And if you are anything like me and you're paying attention at all, you see some stuff where like best case scenario, it's just ludicrously insanely crazy. And then worst case scenario, it's like actively evil fear mongering to sell you garbage. So I do want to throw out, nutritionist doesn't mean anything. So next time you're like on TikTok and there's someone who's like, I'm having butter for breakfast, like go check. And their bio will say either nutritionist and or chiropractor. Both of those should be. And I do want to say there are good, I'm sure there are people out there calling themselves nutritionists and chiropractors who can do some good stuff for you. The ones who are on TikTok aren't those. Dietitian, I cannot call myself a dietitian. That would be like calling myself a pediatrician. That's called fraud. Like the government will come after me if I do that. You actually have to have some kind of credentials to do that. But, and actually this is an opinion that I have changed on in the past few years. I'm even to the point now where like there are people who are actually trained and have these specialized, you know, even up to MDs who are saying stuff now that's like, flies in the face of established science, and where 99% of their other colleagues with the same acronyms after their names disagree with them. I actually think this has gotten a lot worse in the last 2 or 3 years, you know, since we started talking about this. And if you haven't figured out, like, nutrition is the topic for today. There is a lot of stuff. And now, after telling you to be skeptical of unqualified people talking about nutrition, I bring to you a construction salesman and an English teacher to talk to you. I would say, though, for what it's worth, we don't make money on this podcast. So, like,
yeah, basically, Joe took a long time to disclaim that we're
like, that was my route. I love the bit where I call myself a nutritionist because you just can.
Like, yeah,
I mean, decide you're that and then you are.
So, we're not experts on this topic by any stretch of the imagination. But it is something I'm interested in, and it's something I'm learning about. And a lot of what we do on this podcast is I love to learn things. And as I'm learning them, it's fun to come on here and share them with you and take them for what they're worth, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, basically we're just overemphasizing that we're not experts on this topic, but it's a very interesting and important topic.
I do want to say part of the reason that's such a big thing is because I do think, especially in America and a lot of the West, like diet has been a thing we're struggling with. I think there's a lot of evidence. And by the way, I kind of agree fundamentally with a lot of these people that like things aren't great and that like the average American really is not eating well and it's causing really significant and societally costly problems. So I do think it's important, but it's also just an area where it's really easy to fearmonger and sell just whatever baloney garbage.
Also, like, people don't like getting boring advice. They like hearing something they've never heard before,
yep,
or something that's bizarre and new. Like, I remember one time I heard someone on YouTube explaining why strawberries are so bad or something.
It's always some like idiot fourth grade dropout who's not wearing a shirt at a Kroger who's like, here, and it's like the nature of short form content doesn't help. It's like, here are the top 5 foods that are literally poisoning you. And the irony is that the person's doing it because they don't want to put the fries in the bag, right? Like they don't want to be conventionally employed or can't, and like drop shipping didn't work and the car dealership fired them. And so now they're wandering around a grocery store with a shirt off because they did enough crunches to have abs while they were being unemployed. And they're trying to get you to click into their bio to buy whatever like Egyptian, you know, herbal supplement to make, you know, like, or telling you that like you need to have like, and by the way, like we're going to kind of be advocates for like the no duh diet. Like we're not going to be telling you that you should only eat butter and steak.
Yeah. Right? Kind of a spoiler alert. Our advice is going to be really boring.
Yeah. I'm going to try to present it in an engaging way, but like it's not, you know,
and also it's not going to be controversial at all.
It's not to be controversial among people with double digit and higher IQs. So yeah, that's my thought. Okay.
So, but I did want to talk first and, you know, we're going to kind of approach this from a different angle than we have in the past is just about insulin. And I've been, you know, insulin is something that's been talked a lot about lately and I've been learning about it and I'm finding it really, really interesting. Well,
I've nailed it. Insulin sting. I have a title.
So just as a review, insulin is a hormone that's produced in your pancreas, and in probably the simplest terms, its job is to unlock your cells so your cells can uptake the glucose that's in your blood.
Right. It allows you to process sugar.
It's a key that unlocks your cells. Think of it more as like a key. Otherwise, your cells would just kind of be locked to it, and the glucose would just float around in your blood, and you know. But the insulin will unlock your cells so that the glucose can enter your cells.
Sounds good.
And that's either your muscle cells or fat cells.
Okay.
And when it enters your fat cells, it's stored as fat. And when it enters your muscle cells, it's stored as?
Glucose?
Glycogen.
Oh, duh. That's what I meant. That's genuinely what I meant. I mean, the glucose is stored as glucose. No, that's what I meant. It's
that was
the
Joe's
other
first quiz. Mm-hmm. Right
okay, there. Well, I whiffed. I'm too lazy to edit it. Let's just move on. I got to make nachos for a Super Bowl party after this. So everything that I mess up is staying in the episode this week.
This might take a lot of fun out of your Super Bowl party.
I don't even know who's playing. So that's how much fun my Super Bowl party is going to be.
It's Bad Bunny and Kid Rock last time I checked.
Okay, nope, we're not. Anyway, what were you saying about just sugar that starts with G?
Okay, so yeah, insulin. And the reason insulin's so valuable, because if you just have glucose in your bloodstream needs to be closely regulated, because if it gets too high, it ends up doing a lot of damage to your nerves, to your blood vessels, and eventually to like your organs. And
so when your insulin isn't doing this and you've got a bunch of free-floating glucose in your blood and it damages stuff, that's called diabetes.
Yes.
Right? That's what diabetes is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. So problems are so when insulin's working properly, you know, you'll eat something that has glucose in it, your blood sugar will rise, that will signal insulin to increase. It'll increase and it'll cause the glucose to be stored in your cells, and then your insulin should go back down to baseline. And that's like when the system's working properly, it does it that way. The problem arises is when your cells become insensitive to insulin, your body your pancreas has to secrete more insulin, so you have elevated levels of insulin in your blood. And, you know, and problems arise when that occurs. And the other thing that can occur too is if your insulin never returns to baseline, like if you're just constantly, like if you're the type that's eating snacks all day long, your insulin is kind of always at an elevated state, and that can lead to problems too. And, you know, when you become insensitive to insulin, it just takes more and more insulin to do the same task as before. So when insulin levels are high, that's a problem because, well, for one, we tend to burn carbohydrates more than we burn fat. So someone with high levels of insulin will be sitting around watching TV, and instead of burning fat, they will be burning carbohydrates just kind of sitting around. You know, a healthy individual would, when they're doing like low intensity work, like just walking or sitting around or watching TV, would use fat as their fuel, as their metabolic fuel. And then that would switch over to carbohydrates when they do something that's more intense. And that's healthy. But if your insulin levels are high, you would just be burning carbohydrates more of the time, which kind of creates kind of a vicious cycle, because then the insulin will lower your blood sugar, which will cause cravings, and then the cravings make you eat more carbohydrates, and you know, it just kind of keeps perpetuating itself, I guess. So another thing about insulin is insulin signals storage. It signals fat storage. And so if your insulin levels are high, it makes it really, really difficult to lose weight. And, you know, and we did a similar podcast not too long ago where we kind of talked about weight loss and, you know, and we emphasize that this is not necessarily for youth athletes, but it is important to be aware of. And, We kind of had the thermodynamic debate, you know, where
yeah.
Is it just about calories in and calories out? And ultimately, yes. But in a way, insulin is kind of what controls how many calories we bring in,
right,
and how many calories we put out based on this hormone. So it's super important.
And it's maybe like a 30-second, I promise I will keep this fast. This will be a shorter rant. And it's like, if you didn't go back and listen to that episode, reference there, if you didn't pay attention to high school health classes, that truthfully, at the very end of the day, scientifically, like, you will gain weight if you are consuming more calories than you are burning. And conversely, you will lose weight if you are burning more calories than you're consuming, right? It's that simple. But then the complexity comes in, like, the real world of what access to food you have, what your psychological relationship with food is, what, you know, like, you're culturally, like, the types of food you're eating, where you are, what. And then the other thing we have to throw out is, if you are listening to this podcast, you are probably either a child who's like has their own whole different set of considerations for what you should be eating, and then or even if you're just like me, like, we're adults who exercise for fun and live 5 minutes away from the mountains where all of the things we like to do are very active, right? So the advice, and I want to throw out too that, like, the nutrition advice that the average American needs is different than the nutrition advice that the listeners of this podcast need. And that, like, all of this stuff is wrapped up in, you know, like, I'm over my 30 seconds, but there's a lot of different factors, but we do want to throw out that probably, go back and listen to that episode. It is good. I think it's important, especially if this is something that you don't know a whole lot about, because, like, I can, and I'll share for those of you who are new, like, I had one of the things, and maybe the thing that set me back, this team, by the way, if you don't know, started because I sucked really bad and we wanted to figure out why. I'm not even making it up. That is kind of the genesis of this whole thing. And I think one of, if not the biggest factors in my spectacularly unspectacular bicycle racing career in high school was that I just had a really fundamentally broken understanding of nutrition and was trying to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And I wasn't even effectively doing the crazy stuff. I was ineffective. I was trying to do something as insane as eat 5 pounds of rocks. Like, my goal was as crazy as I'm going to eat 3 bags of gravel today. And then I was trying to do it with a straw. Like, it was the combination of a wildly ridiculous goal and then a laughably stupid way of accomplishing it. Like, so go back and listen to those things. But we probably should have looked at notes more closely, but, like, talking more today about this, the insulin part specifically of nutrition, right?
Well, no, this is just kind of the lead in to, this is just kind of one aspect of why nutrition's important to pay attention to. And we do have to kind of look at this through the lens that we are athletes and that we do have some different needs. But I do think that a lot of times we do things as athletes that are more geared towards performance rather than health.
Yes. And no, this is also true.
And so, and we'll kind of get into, you know, we'll go kind of back to what Joe was touching on here soon. But yeah, like insulin is something I never thought about as a high school athlete. It's something I didn't ever think about in my 20s and 30s. But as I've been kind of learning more about it, I'm realizing that, you know, maybe this is something I wish I could kind of go back in time and pay attention to, you know. So hopefully I'm the ghost of Christmas past or something to you guys and making you, you know, because like when you're in high school, you've got this rock star metabolism, but
you're active when you're in high school. High schoolers are active. They're moving, they're doing stuff, you know.
You know, but you'll find when you get a lot of people in like their 20s and 30s and, you know, that changes, you know, and if you can kind of establish some good habits earlier, it can make drastic effects on your health. And that's kind of where we're going with all this. I just think the insulin stuff is interesting and something I wish I would have known more about earlier, because, you know, kind of back to insulin, you know, once you become insensitive to it and you constantly have high levels of blood sugar, you know, that, like we mentioned, that's diabetes. It's got all kinds of complications associated with it. You know, also the brain can develop insulin resistance, which impairs its ability to use glucose. And then, you know, as we know, that can damage nerves and even lead to plaque buildups and, you know, and insulin resistance can cause your kidneys to retain more sodium, which can cause high blood pressure, which can have other cardiovascular effects, you know? And so really, like, being aware of this and paying attention to it, I think earlier in life is probably better than learning about it when you're 60 and you can barely walk and, you know, so.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're going with this. No, there are some things you can do to prevent excessive insulin or you know, prevent insulin resistance or reduce, you know, it's something that if you are dealing with it, it's a situation that can be improved. And the things that can help improve it, one is exercise. You know, we have, you know, we talked about how insulin will open up the cells so it can store glucose in either fat cells or as glycogen. Exercise also will open your muscle cells so they can store glucose and use glucose. And that's through the GLUT4 transporter. So when you're exercising, it can have a similar effect to insulin without an insulin response. So that helps keep insulin levels low. It's especially useful if you can do that like right after you eat. You know, if you eat something, go on a 15-minute walk.
Yeah.
You can kind of, that's something that definitely can help keep insulin levels low. Another thing too, and this is something I've been trying to work on lately and it's been hard, and that is just kind of limiting yourself to 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
And not grazing constantly throughout the day. You know, if you're doing that, you know, your insulin never gets a chance to return to baseline. It's just kind of always slightly elevated.
I can tell from experience this, and this is more a reference to that last episode. And I will say my quick disclaimer that I'll give for this is like any advice we give that's related to weight loss is intended for our non high school athletes, for people who are kind of like 20s and up, you know. And again, my advice for high school athletes is listen to your doctor. And I'm assuming if you're on this team, your doctor's probably not telling you to lose weight, but who knows? Listen to them either way. But I will tell you, for the adult audience, I gained a lot of weight after high school. Granted, my weight in high school was probably lower than it should have been. I was doing jobs where I was working from home during COVID. And I was doing the constantly grazing all day. And then I was also eating meals. In my job now, it's harder for me to do that. And I am doing a whole lot better. It's something to consider.
Well, and I've been trying to eat more at my meals, because it's a lot of times I'll sit down to a good healthy meal and I'll try not to eat very much because I'm trying to limit my calories.
Right. Yeah.
And, but then I'll go have a snack 2 hours later.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm actually trying to consciously eat a little bit more at my meals, but then less in between. And I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
You
know? I'm curious. Some foods will and immediately, anytime I hear spike your glucose, I just laugh because I hear so many like, I never eat apples because they spike your glucose and no one will employ me. So here I am on TikTok. But like, are there certain foods that are like...
Yeah. I mean, like, we'll talk about those a little in a set, like fibers and proteins and stuff won't as quickly. But they still do a little bit. You know, so it's probably better just to try, assuming you're not, and all of this is assuming you're not like an energy deficit, you know, like,
right. Yeah.
But you know, for me, it's probably better to try to get, to limit it to 3 meals a day. And then especially like after dinner, not eating after dinner.
Yep.
You know, because you really do need like longer periods where your insulin can go back down to baseline, to kind of maintain sensitivity. So that's one. Another one, and this shouldn't be controversial, but it kind of is these days, and that's avoiding saturated fats.
Haha. Yes.
You know, the saturated fats do cause your muscles to become insensitive to insulin. They become less good at utilizing glucose. It also makes your liver insulin insensitive and causes your liver to produce more glucose. So
I also know that there's a massive canon of research that links the more saturated fat people are consuming, the more cardiovascular problems they're having. I want to say, and it's funny because I'm old enough to remember like 90s and early 2000s, like everything was zero fat. Like you'd have like zero, like it would be like Jolly Ranchers, a fat free food, just like really paralyzingly stupid stuff, because people, the whole thing was like, and then they get hold like, well, fat doesn't make you fat. We've kind of evolved in our understanding. And now you've got like people where they're like encouraging people to consume more saturated fat, which like, the pendulum's just swung the other way.
Like steak, butter, and bacon for breakfast.
Saturated fat is not poison. it's not going to kill you.
And that's
you
why I said limit it. Like,
yeah, like you don't need to be searching it out in your diet though. Yeah. Like that's crazy. Yeah, that's like, not, you know,
it's not like a poison you have to avoid, but it is something you should be, you should limit.
Yeah.
Like, you should use it sparingly.
And, yeah. Like,
so yeah,
something to consider.
Yeah. Something to consider. Improving sleep has a big effect on your insulin sensitivity. And the big one, and this is, you know, and this is something that's super popular nowadays, and nobody argues this. And if they did, they would be insane. And that's just limiting highly processed carbohydrates.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you know, you think you go into like a Maverick and you look around and almost everything in that store falls under that category, you know? And
I do want to say my bone to pick, what does processed mean? I think highly processed on its own is actually all that you, cause like protein powder is highly processed and all the, you know, like all these dudes on TikTok are trying to sell you their protein powder. It's a highly processed thing, but it is true. And maybe from a sociological standpoint, I do want to say the older I get, the more I understand, like people almost talk about how there's almost in a conspiratorial way about how like, ooh, they, and there's always fascinating responses when you ask them who they is, but like they are trying to poison you with these highly processed foods, and they, it's almost like a conspiracy, right? Like it's like flat earth kind of thing. And it's interesting because I really think it's just genuine market demand for people who are busy. That's more and more I'm thinking as I get older, that's more, I'm realizing that like I wake up in the morning, I'm rushing to work. I do my best every morning to have like, you know, like I'll cook up some potatoes and eggs for breakfast is my favorite thing to have. Right. That takes some time, mm-hmm. right? That takes a kitchen, you know, or like I get home from work and I'm exhausted, especially if I want to go like ride my bike and do other fun or hang out with my friends, do fun stuff. Making dinner is hard, and like foods, dinner subscription, HelloFresh or whatever is ridiculously expensive. So like, you do kind of realize that like the, like a Jimmy Dean sausage breakfast sandwich you stick in the microwave. It's not a conspiracy. That's a thing that tastes really good because it's highly palatable, because it's highly refined, and it's white flour and butter and meat with a lot of fat in it. And it tastes good. And it takes 30 seconds and you can eat it in the car on your way to work, you know? And like people always say, but ooh, in Europe, you know, everything's so much healthier. Like you've ever been to, I've been to Europe once, like, I guess twice, but like you're shocked because you're somewhere where like you're forced to walk everywhere, which is great. And then you realize you're feeling better because you're eating mostly fruits and vegetables and walking a lot. And it's not like a conspiracy. Yeah. It's that the way we've kind of set up our lives is conducive to, I want foods that are really easy to prepare, that are highly shelf stable and that taste good. And those foods are Cheez-Its, you know, not like a Greek salad.
But definitely like, you know, as far as insulin sensitivity goes, limiting those highly processed carbs is a major step in the right direction. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second.
But I'm wondering when I can ask the question about like, and we consume how many gels and how that fits into this whole thing. But I know that
okay,
that's,
and I was, yeah.
Was that the reveal? Is that too soon?
Well, no, we can. So I guess my last point I was going to try to get.
No, I'll give you the segue in that in a sec.
Is that, you know, that diet probably more than exercise even is one of the most potent ways to make sure that we're just generally healthy, that we're sensitive to insulin, which ultimately will prevent like all kinds of diseases and, you know, it's going to improve our health span and so forth. So diet is just super, super important.
I do think you can't out exercise a bad diet.
Yeah. Exercise is important too. But usually people that have good diets also exercise too. I can't really imagine the person that does one but not the other.
I don't know, but
I know
you
a lot
I...
of people that exercise that have bad diets.
Yeah.
I think most people that have good diets probably exercise too.
I do think this is changing though. I think a lot of people who aren't exercising a lot are starting to kind of realize, you know, like when half the country says that, well, actually that's a massive exaggeration. It's not that many, but when, you know, everybody knows someone with diabetes and where, you know, like pediatric diabetes is a thing that exists and people are starting to realize a little, I think that'll change. I do think the average person who isn't like exercising for fun is figuring this out. But and I want to say you and I are kind of there's a time when you and I are both like, oh, as long as we ride our bikes enough, I kind of don't have to worry about what I eat. And like, that's not really.
I tried that. It doesn't work. It works initially.
It works if biking is your job, maybe. Well, but even then, people who are biking as their job aren't eating like that. Like the amount of riding, I can tell you, like the amount of highly processed foods I could eat comfortably, I'd have to be riding like 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Which is why. And so again, like with all this stuff, there's the nuance. Like saturated fat and processed carbs are not poison, but like most people should be kind of cognizantly trying to reduce their prevalence in your diet.
So, and let's get back to a point you were kind of getting at earlier about, we are talking here about just general nutrition. This is like your nutrition throughout the day. There is a difference between nutrition and fueling.
Yes. Cause I was going to ask some of you astute listeners are sitting here being like, okay, limit my processed carbohydrates, make sure I'm not spiking insulin by having a whole bunch of sugar. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to try and consume 100 grams of carbohydrates every hour for the next 4 hours while I try and do this thing. And that isn't, I want to throw up another point that's really interesting where performance and health are not the same. And I want to throw out, if you are kind of like me, I think a person who bikes for fun, who wants to be good at I-cups and ride their bike every day after work, like the more I can ride, the better. Generally for me, performance and health are going to go hand in hand. You do reach a point though, where I don't think professional cyclists are the healthiest people ever. And just to throw out a principle, like performance and health really aren't the same because EPO makes you faster. And there's a reason it's banned, because it's not good for you, mm-hmm. right? And I think you and I have both expressed, and you especially have expressed some concern that as the sports science has started to kind of catch up and you hear about the pros where there's obviously a massive performance benefit to carb, like carb maxing, you know, trying to get as many grams of carbohydrate. And I've talked before too about how like it kind of unlocks some of these big events, like point to point, I think is easier now than it used to be in a lot of ways, because most people are just aware of how much they need to eat to get through it. But then there's this kind of question of like, okay, do we want to tell all these teenagers that you need to be housing 120 grams of carbs? Like what's that going to do and for all of their insulin resistance?
And we've kind of talked about this a lot in the past. I'm on the very cautious side of like, this whole thing.
There's the research isn't here because it's sports science. And
the
it's
only
like,
thing the research has proven is that we can do a lot of it and not die.
Yeah.
And we can tolerate a lot of it, but whether it's healthy or the long-term implications of having like 120 grams of sugar running through your blood for an 8-hour bike ride.
Like all the time.
All the time. If that's healthy, but
it's going to make you faster. I can tell you that, but like, I don't know,
you know, so, and that's kind of another conversation for another time. But just know there's a distinction between nutrition and fueling.
Yeah.
The nutrition we're talking about today though, will ultimately help with your fueling.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, like under fueling is about as unhealthy as you can get. Like,
yeah.
So fueling is healthy. But sometimes pushing it to the performance limits, it may be just fine. We don't really know, you know, but that's, you know, and that's kind of something we're going to dive into deeper on another topic. Today, we're talking more about just in general nutrition throughout your life, which will provide, it will provide nourishment through your rides and, you know, but we're just talking more about nutrition in general and fueling, something that we'll kind of deal with separately, but just know that fueling generally is more a performance thing, and nutrition is more about your health. But I think that maybe trying to keep health in mind when doing both isn't such a bad idea. All right. Yeah. So we've talked about the no duh diet before, and really kind of the no duh diet, it almost is just kind of making fun of a lot of the diets out there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got like anything that talks about like detox, or you've got like Dr. Grundy that's always got some clickbaity weird food that's the number one reason you're fat.
Like your dumbest friend's really into. Yeah.
Or like V Shred, or, you know, and I guess kind of the whole concept of it is, if a diet sounds stupid and crazy, it probably is. Like, good advice should be boring advice.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like nutrition, is remarkably complex. Like the way food interacts with our bodies and all the chemical processes that happen. And it, you could take a lifetime learning about it and only know a tiny bit of what there is to know. It's remarkably complex, but I think for most people, like eating healthy doesn't have to be that complex. It can be fairly intuitive.
It also doesn't have to be expensive. I'll throw out a thing that I talk about a lot is like, and it's not just the kind of like real idiot flat earther eat butter, a stick of butter for breakfast people. It's also people who are just like, oh, well, you know, I tell people all the time, like frozen vegetables are cheap, you know, and they're great. And like arguably even nutritionally better, you know, like I felt like a lot of stuff, like a lot of processing, I think is good if it makes it more accessible. I will say in the last episode, I talked about like, you should eat things that you like. I think a diet that involves you having to choke down food all the time is a diet. Well, let me say a diet, like
that's
a
nutrition, but
it's something you're not going to do.
Yeah. Like, so I guess we're just, the whole point of the no-duh diet is it should be somewhat intuitive. It should be pretty straightforward. And, you know, anything that sounds crazy and weird, be skeptical of.
Well, nailed it. Be skeptical. Be skeptical. So, listen to me.
So at my work, there's a guy and he's like, he lifts weights a lot. He's in the gym a lot. And, he comes in every morning, in my work fridge, he's got like one of those Costco pallets of eggs. And he comes in every morning, he makes this smoothie, and I swear he cracks like 10 raw eggs.
He's doing this at work?
Does this at work.
He's cracking eggs at work?
Yeah, and he cracks like 10 eggs into this smoothie, and he drinks this smoothie that's mostly just raw eggs. And I'm like, first, disgusting. And
he's doing it so that he could do that at home. He's doing that so that you see him doing it. You know that, right?
Well, I guess. I don't know. But
what if he likes bad podcasts and he's listening to us right now?
Oh, that would be... You know, he could beat me up. I'm just saying.
I think that's probably true of most people. But anyway, carry on. Carry on.
You know, there's another guy at my work that he only eats meat. He's like... You know, he's like on a strict carnivore diet. Like, he's up there every day in the lunchroom just gnawing on this... pork chop or something.
Guarantee his doctor didn't tell him to do that to treat his autoimmune disease. I guarantee he got one-shotted by the dumbest AI-generated YouTube slop video ever. Like,
yeah. You know, but the thing I'll say is, like, I mean, neither of these guys could ever win a bike race. I'll just leave it at that, you know. So if it sounds weird, it probably is. And the thing is, too, to point out is like a crazy, odd, restrictive diet, like even if there might be some benefits to it, it's only good if it's sustainable. You know, and that's like the keto diet. Yeah, it does keep your blood sugar low.
Yep.
But
you're also going to die of colon cancer. Like, I'm going to throw that out. Like,
you know, but there's yeah, you're going to have really high cholesterol. And you're gonna, but also it's just kind of hard to do, you know, it's hard to show up to parties and be able to be eat what everyone's eating.
Be a weirdo.
And stick to your diet, you know?
But here's the thing with the keto diet. It's like, and then people start making, well, you know, the average Americans eat, and I'm like, you know, it is probably true that the average American should have like their protein fat carbs ratio, like the protein slice probably should be bigger. I am totally open to that. I think that's a pretty well supported, or like people talk about, like there's a lot been made about like the food pyramid changing all the time and stuff. And like, yeah, I think there's definitely some stuff in the 90s food pyramid that we look at now and we're like, yeah, you know, you probably bread probably shouldn't be 50% of your diet, you know, like that's kind of weird. Like, but it's that you're taking it then and then just running to some ridiculous extreme with it, you know?
You know, and then there's just a lot of nutrients you're going to be missing out on that
are
super, you know, and like intermittent fasting, like there's great benefits to fasting in lowering your insulin levels, but that's something I couldn't do for very long. And I don't know anyone that's done that and been able to do it for very long.
No.
You know, and like even like going vegan, you know, I mean, it can be very, very helpful. It can be done in a very healthy manner, but Most people I know that have tried it don't.
It's really expensive and highly inconvenient to do it right. Because you can, like, I've had every friend I've had, like, all of my friends have been vegan at some point. It's like, you end up just eating, like, goldfish crackers to survive because that's what you know. I want to throw it too, like if you look at other places, there's always like America has the worst health. You look at other, which isn't totally true. Like America's not that bad in the grand scheme. And it's cool that we live in a time where like our problem is that people are over consuming calories. Like way to go humanity. That's crazy. That's our problem. But like you look at these places where people have, you know, where people live to be 110 all the time and other stuff. And it's like their diets are, have a lot of different things in them. They're eating a lot of plants. They're eating a lot of seafood. They have good access to healthcare. It is kind of the no dust stuff, you know?
So let's talk about some no dust stuff. The one rule that I always like to emphasize with, especially when we're dealing with youth athletes, is the number one rule is that you're eating enough.
Yes.
And with our audience, you know, with our youth athletes audience, I've had more serious problems with people under eating than people overeating.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So just make sure that, you know, that you're really balancing the amount of calories you're consuming with the amount of calories you're using.
Yep.
And that number should never be positive or negative by very much.
Yeah.
You know, so,
or it'll be negative on big training days and then maybe a little positive.
It needs to all kind of come out in the wash.
On an average. Yeah. Should be about the same.
Yeah. So make sure you're eating enough. I have dealt with, in fact, one of the number, like overtraining usually needs a catalyst. One of the main catalysts for overtraining is under fueling and not just being undernourished, you know? So that's the first thing is just making sure you're eating enough. You know, I think with most audiences, you need to talk about not overeating and not eating too much.
Yeah.
But you guys are
unique. This is the kind of rare audience where like, and again, like we talk about like weight loss and weight, you know, if you're 14, you need to be gaining weight because you're getting bigger. You're probably not in your adult body yet. And like, in order to build a larger body,
you need calories.
And so this is why, again, like the, like pediatrics is its own branch of medicine and you have pediatric and then every other subspecialty underneath that because a child's body is different. And every child's, and you know, we probably do have some 17, 18 year olds, maybe even some 15 year olds who are kind of pretty much in their adult body. There are other people who are going to keep developing post 18. So like all of this is also highly individual and we're not doctors.
Yeah.
So can you imagine someone showing up to the doctor and it's like us? It's like, hey, what up? How's it going? Let's mess some stuff up.
Okay. So the next one is, I don't know if I'm going to explain this really well, but more focusing on what you should include rather than what you should exclude.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, pop off king. I just made a bunch of 13-year-olds laugh. No, yeah, like 100%. This is, I used to have a high, you remember this, I used to have a highly exclusionary diet because I think I was, I talk all the time, like my diet had kind of become like a religion and that it was like a moral thing for me. I'll say again, exercise and nutrition have zero moral dimension at all. That's not how it works. You know, it's kind of like, I am going to abstain from this evil food. And in doing so, some higher power is going to bless me with the outcome I want. Like it's not, you know, for me, like, and I will tell you like over the winter when my activity is down and I'm not able to just go and ride 3 hours a day for kicks all the time. And for my adults who maybe do have some kind of a weight loss goal, like trying to eat as many fruits and vegetables as I can, trying to eat as much lean protein as I can. It kind of makes it so I'm like not hungry for the other garbage all the time, which is a much better thing than just like sitting, I'm going to stare at the Cheez-Its from across the room in the dark and I'm not going to eat them because I'm strong. Like people who do that, it's like, and by the way, like if you knew me, people who knew me in high school, like I was the biggest weirdo. Like you genuinely would rather go on a road trip with Charles Manson. Like or Osama bin Laden than me. It was like I was a freak. And again, like it was awful and it was like mentally devastating and it didn't work. Like if it had worked, that'd be something where it's kind of like, hey, it worked and that's cool. But again, it was like I had an incredibly stupid goal and I was trying to accomplish it in the most ham-fisted way possibly. I can you believe I had friends? Anyway.
So there's some foods that you really should try to include more of in your diet. And then there's other foods that you should just try to use more sparingly.
Yeah.
You know, and common sense would dictate which ones, you know,
yep.
like Oreos, not poison.
Yep.
But probably shouldn't be at the top of your pyramid.
Yeah. Right? If you're having two Oreos here and there, it's fine. That's fine. It's not poison. It's fine.
Yeah.
Probably, so, I would say for me, I don't buy Oreos to have in the house, right? Yeah. Like usually, so I don't know.
So the things you do try to include, and the things you do try to include is mostly plants.
Yeah.
Your diet should be mostly plants. And I kind of think of it as like being a vegetarian with an asterisk.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because like, think of all the people that like are vegetarians that you know of. Do you know any overweight vegetarians?
No, it'd be hard to do.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you should eat mostly plants, but you should really focus on like a variety.
Yeah.
Like try to have as many, like the more plants that you're able to eat, it's just good for your gut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then like trying to get the mosaic of micronutrients you need too, where like, if you are just eating a lot of different stuff, you're gonna, yeah, like you'll be fine.
It's going to be awesome. Fiber.
Yeah.
Love fiber. Fiber's so awesome. And
fiber, again, talking about colon cancer, like colon cancer is like the number one killer after whatever the other crazy big stuff, like in people my age. Like people might just show, and we're thinking that it is probably, you know, my understanding is that the body of research is suggesting that it's an underconsumption of fiber, which makes sense. Cause like, and this is another way, like if your whole diet is based on Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwiches, yeah, and Krispy Kremes, like, there's no fiber.
Highly processed foods don't have a lot of fiber.
No.
And you know, we're talking about insulin before, and like, we're so concerned about blood sugar. Like fiber is an excellent way to lower insulin spikes.
Yeah, to keep that in check.
Yeah, because it basically makes it so the sugar that's introduced into your bloodstream is done at a more gradual pace.
Yeah.
So you're not really dealing with these huge spikes that take forever to come down from. So
I have to throw this out again. I don't eat, like, eat mostly plants doesn't mean eat all plants.
We'll get to that, yeah.
Can we, is there a better time for this?
Well, no, you're good.
Okay, yeah. I would say, like, I think a lot of plants suck. Like, I think beets and spinach suck.
Yeah, you don't have to eat the ones you don't like.
Yeah, my wife loves beets. Like, Tessa loves beets and spinach, right? She loves beets, which is crazy. Like, that's super weird. It must be because she's Canadian. They're weird. But, like, for me, it's beans, sweet potatoes, peppers. Usually, like, potatoes, beans, potatoes, peppers. I like tomatoes. I like other stuff, but I don't like, and I eat that stuff because it's awesome. Like right now I'm thinking about what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow and I'm starving because it's my favorite thing and it's so good for me, right? Like, yeah, do that. Don't be choking down. Like I had can I share one of the things I had to eat because this is funny and we're going to throw out. Okay. So when I was on my psycho arc where I went to the ends of the earth to get 12th place in NICA, because that was my whole life. Anyway, I had a lower GPA because of that. It was a great payoff. Ask me how my life's going. Anyway, actually my life's amazing. But like I would eat every day. And this is what I was eating when my wife who married me met me, which again, weird taste, beet, spinach and me. I would have a sandwich that consisted of 100% whole grain bread because the white stuff is Satan and it's evil and it's bad for reasons I couldn't explain to you. It just is, right? I would have this sandwich. And then I would have about, and I'm not exaggerating, 4 cups of spinach. You know, like the bags of spinach you buy at Costco? Like a third of one of those suckers. And then I'd have a piece of bread. That end. And I would eat this in front of my friends who cared about me. And like, that was really, really weird, and it didn't make me feel very good, and it was super gross, and it didn't work, and that sucked. And I could have been eating a whole number of other delicious, like the Skyline Cafeteria, they'd give you like a baked potato that would have been great, that would have been like genuinely awesome. But I was eating my psycho sandwich for guys in padded cells because I thought, you know, because I didn't understand the stuff, because I didn't actually go and learn about it. It was controlling my life, and I didn't know the first thing about it.
Yeah. So, but kind of back to fiber, sorry.
No, but the point is, okay, but I was trying to make a point there, right? That like, that actually, looking back, didn't really have that much fiber in it. It had a lot of micronutrients because spinach is good for that. I kind of think spinach is overrated nutritionally if you look at it. I don't think it's that good. Like there's other stuff that's way more delicious
Have a variety, but you don't have to include things you hate.
Yeah.
But I was going to say one thing about fiber too, is it's really good for your gut.
Yes.
Not only is it good for you, like your blood sugar and insulin and that part, it's really good for your gut. But this variety of plants has like tons of micronutrients. It's good for nitric oxide levels, which will relax your blood vessels so you can, you know, improve your VO2 max. You can, you know, it'll make you faster. So like And this should be like your vegetables, which of a variety of vegetables, your fruits, berries.
Yeah.
And my personal,
berries, yeah.
Yeah. Berries are awesome. My personal favorite, beans.
Yeah.
You know, so
very pro bean here.
And the thing is like, well, I'll get to that later. So that's, you know, so include mostly plants.
Yeah.
But I do think there's huge, like we need protein and,
yeah,
you know, it, and as we're athletes and it seems like the more we learn about it too, the, you know, the recommendations for protein keep getting higher and higher. So, but the thing with protein is it's better if it's included with every single meal.
Yeah.
Rather than just like a big, huge chunk of meat.
Yeah. Big old wad of chicken for one of your meals.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to have protein at every single meal and throughout the day. And that can be plant or animal proteins. Preferably chicken or fish. And I also think that Greek yogurt's great. Nuts are great. We mentioned earlier to try to limit your saturated fats, but definitely do include the mono and polyunsaturated fats.
Yeah. This is a good time to say that people who say that seed oils are bad for you are wrong. They're wrong. There's no scientific literature. All the scientific literature backs up that if you're reducing your saturated fat and seed oils, which by the way, like, not that you should be like having a cup of seed oil with every meal, but like it's probably better for you. It's almost certainly better for you. I want to throw that. People who say that and then that sugar, like fruit's bad for you because it has sugar in it, they're dumb. You shouldn't listen to them. You're too nice to say that. I'm going to say that.
I was going to say, yeah. So seek out like healthy sources of fat, like, yeah, you know, especially like avocados and fish.
Yeah.
And
olive oil.
Olive oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be chugging it because it's highly caloric, but like, in moderation, some of it is good for you.
And I mean, I'm not really qualified to comment on seed oils or not, but you know, just use some common sense there.
Yeah, it's not poison.
And then complex carbohydrates.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people that think carbs are bad and carbs are evil, but there are definitely carbs that are very healthy and are a great source of energy.
Yep.
And if they're complex and if they have fiber, they release glucose at a nice steady rate. So you're not spiking insulin and, you know, and these would be like your whole grains. Oatmeal is awesome. I think oatmeal is probably like the pre-ride food of choice.
Yeah.
And you know, your rice.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are great. And I'm just going to throw out there that like, you know, as athletes, we have to include this type of stuff in our diet. So
yeah,
our glycogen stores are stocked,
yeah,
and ready to go. But, you know, if these carbohydrates come from like whole natural sources that are not processed, it's done in a healthy way that, you know, we get kind of like the benefits of the energy, but without all the drawbacks of the spiked insulin and the blood sugar spikes and crashes.
And by the way, I'm open to the idea that like your average sedentary American probably should have like a protein first diet. And it's probably a decent idea for the, you know, like most of your sedentary Americans, if you were to decrease the amount of carbs they're eating, that would probably be good. But again, like that's the nuance gets lost. And then you have people where they're like, you know, anytime someone says carbs are bad, just like hit them with the fiber thing. And they can never answer the fiber thing because they're stupid. Because like the fiber, you need like fiber is a carbohydrate and you need it to stay alive. Like,
so
I don't know. I hate that.
And you know, we've kind of talked about a lot of stuff, but I actually really like Canada has something that's similar to my plate. It's the Canadian Food Guide, and it's a visual guide that just shows, like, here, I'll show that to you.
Oh, can I read it in a Canadian accent? Hang on.
No. Please don't. That's not going to be as funny as you think it would be.
Tessa doesn't listen to the podcast. She's
so fine. So basically, all they do is they have, like, a plate, and the plate's kind of divided in half, and on one half of the plate, it's all fruit and vegetables. And it's like a picture, and it just shows a ton of variety. Yeah. It looks delicious, actually. Yeah. And then the other half of the plate is divided in half again. So there's three sections. So one, the entire half of the plate is fruits and vegetables. And then they've split the other half in half. So you've got a quarter there that's, your protein sources, and they've got like different nuts and seeds and meat and so forth. And then they've got a section for like whole grains and stuff. You should look it up.
No, this is actually great. You should actually, I hate to give this to you. You should look it up, eh? There you go. Okay, there we go.
But you know, like looking at this plate and.
Thanks for showing it to me again. I just spent 3 minutes looking at it. That's great.
You know, how do you think you'd feel if you ate something like that every meal?
Freaking awesome.
Yeah. You'd feel awesome. Yeah. You would. Yeah.
Yeah.
No need for supplements. No need. You'd be awesome.
You'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make chili, by the way. Chili is the ultimate hack food because it's unbelievably delicious and you can have all of that stuff in it in a single meal and it fits into a Tupperware and you can make a whole pot of it and then just eat it every day at work and be the chili guy at work. That's my thing.
So I guess to kind of sum it up, you're kind of like mostly eating like a vegetarian. It's mostly plant-based, but you're including chicken and fish. It's really hard to overeat when you're doing this and you don't ever have to be hungry.
Like yeah, because if you're hungry, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you could lose a lot of weight and never be hungry. But my concern with this is, you know, that if you're a youth athlete riding 4 or 5 hours a day, that you might not get enough calories this way. And if that's the case, you know, you might have to go to some other sources to get some more calories just to make sure you're getting enough, that you're not undernourishing yourself.
Yeah, so. Youth endurance athletics is kind of an interesting thing because like when you think about like the caloric demands of a 14-year-old body and then like what we're doing for fun, you know, a lot of these kids, especially with the training rides, are starting to see where like the average kid really is doing like two, three, four hour rides. I'm like, dude, if you're 14 and you're burning another 2,000 calories a day,
you're going to have to eat some Cheez-Its and grape juice.
Yeah, dude, seriously. Like it's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
So, so those are the things we should actively try to include. Now let's talk about some of the things that we should be a little more sparing about, like eat sparingly. The first one is obviously highly processed carbs. And this is kind of your crackers, your cereals. But again, these things, if you are in an energy deficit, those are awesome things.
Yeah.
Like you can get out of an energy deficit really easily with a few bowls of cereal.
I will tell you, grown-ups, like cereal and chips and crackers, if for the grown-ups with a weight loss goal, cereal, chips, crackers are rough because it's the secret to losing weight you'll find is eating high volume, low calorie foods like fruits and vegetables, low volume, high calorie foods that are delicious and either like sweetened or salty or whatever. Like, dude, it's rough.
The thing I found about those foods is like, I won't be hungry and I'll eat some crackers. Mm-hmm. And the more crackers I eat, the hungrier I get.
Yeah. And again, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's economics. It tastes good and you want, it's just that simple. Like, so if, for the adults with the weight loss goal.
So yeah. So
that's, you know,
so yeah, like use those judiciously.
Yeah.
Be wise about it.
Yeah.
Processed meats, they're just not healthy. They're not good. Lots of saturated fats. Fried foods, obviously you're going to want to limit that. So that includes like, I hate to say this because one of my favorite foods in the whole world is like tortilla chips.
Yeah.
And, you know, like corn dogs and a lot of foods are fried. And sometimes you don't even realize it. But
yeah, yeah.
We already mentioned limiting saturated fats. This is kind of like just, and we didn't say like, we said limit it, you know, like make sure. Yeah. It's just something you just need to be aware of how much.
Yeah. You're foods doing. You should never eat include arsenic and uranium, right? Like, yeah. Like other stuff. It's like, yeah, if it's your birthday, have some birthday cake. You probably shouldn't have birthday cake for breakfast every day.
But yeah, the saturated, you know, like be sparing with the red meats, dairy, use it wisely.
Hey, steak is great for you. Steak has iron in it. Like, steak's delicious. I is probably not a good idea to eat 3 pounds of steak a day. You know,
but yeah, like
once
we said,
or twice a week's great.
It does lead to like muscle and liver insulin insensitivity. It raises your LDL cholesterol and.
I like how you almost said that wrong and just plowed through and just stopped making eye contact with me in hopes that I wouldn't catch you saying cholesterol.
And yeah, so, and then things with added sugar. Yeah, that's sugary drinks, that's obvious. Like fructose, if it's not in fruit, is pretty bad news.
Yeah. Nobody needs to be drinking sugary drinks anymore is my hot take. Cause like the zero drinks are awesome. And you would have to
unless
drink.
Unless you're an athlete that's in an energy deficit, then that is a great way to get out of that deficit quickly.
Oh yeah. So, like for adults, don't be drinking anything. There's like Coke Zero is the same and you'd have to drink 80 cans a day to have to get even close to the point where it could have any kind of negative health effect. Like you can go ham on Coke Zero.
That water's better to drink. Just we'll throw.
So Coke Zero is 99.9% water. Okay. This is a hill I'll die on. So,
and then I'm just going to throw this out there. Alcohol, really no good reason to, if you're not doing it now, don't start. There's really no good reason.
Like, also, it's really like, oh, it has antioxidants in it. I'm like, there's also like 50 other foods that aren't, like alcohol is poison is the funny thing. Like, it's like, Oreos aren't poison. Alcohol kind of is.
It kind of like, is. And you're just kind of like controlling the dose. So it's
nothing in it that you can't get from stuff that isn't going to nerf your liver.
Yeah.
So
like, They're saying now that there's no safe amount. Most of the benefits for drinking it are social.
Yep.
If you haven't started,
you really don't need to introduce anyone. Yeah. It's another. I don't know. It's obviously like this is a youth thing. It's you know.
Yeah, of course the youth aren't supposed to be drinking.
From like a health perspective, there's no.
We're just talking about like you know when you go to college and stuff. Don't need to really.
Yeah, it's a mess. So, I will tell you really quick when I started teaching, I kind of assumed that the biggest substance abuse problem affecting my kids' families would be like opioids or something, and it is alcohol by 10,000 miles, and it's not even close. So just I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't want to be like a prohibitionist over here, but like it's not great.
Yeah. So that's basically it. You know, it's all kind of common sense stuff. I think everything we mentioned there, I don't think we said anything too controversial.
To people who...
If we did, we're not smart.
To people who graduated high school.
We're not smart enough to defend it anyway.
Yeah,
but,
there you go.
You know,
come at me and I'll ignore you.
But I do want to, you know, we talked... We interested. We interested.
Oh, I don't think we interested at all.
We introduced...
We might have done that.
A topic before... called HIIT training. Do you remember what that is?
High intensity frequency. HIIT training is, hang on.
It's done. We made it up. It's not a real thing.
Okay, good. It feels like a pejorative, like you'd call someone a HIIT.
Okay. So HIIT training just means healthy as fast.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is like, and we introduced this, I think, last winter when, you know, we're coming up on a season where we can't train as much. We don't have as much time to do as much volume and so forth. But just healthy living habits are naturally going to make you faster. Like I went on, it was kind of fun. I went on a group of guys from my work went on a mountain biking adventure thing. And you know, it was kind of cool because for once in my life, I actually felt like I was kind of good at what I did. But There was one guy that came that he was like awful at riding a bike. Like, I don't think he'd ridden a bike since he was like 13 or something. But this guy wakes up every morning early and he goes to the gym. He takes really, really good care of himself. He plays tennis and, you know, he wasn't a cyclist by any means, but just because he was like healthy and had good habits, he was shockingly fast.
Yeah. Within 30 minutes he was doing fine. Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he figured out really other people. Like I think there are a lot of people who like straight up couldn't go on a basic mountain bike ride. Like it would be, or even like skiing, like the same thing with like, I think a lot of people just kind of get on and sort of go, if you're taking good enough care of yourself. I'll also say too, like, I think, if you kind of think about, and it's morbid to think this way, but I think that like, if you think about later in your life, my wife and I have been talking a lot about this, that like a lot of people kind of have like 10 or 15 years at the end of their life where they can't move very much and they can't do very much and they become isolated and they're lonely. And then you contrast that with people who take really good care of themselves. You know, like both of Tessa's grandparents, like up until, you know, her grandma died of cancer, so like that was a confounding factor, but like got up flirting with their 90s and were like going to events and stuff and going out to dinner and going on walks and going fishing and other stuff like that, where like I do think it's an investment where a lot of people, I mean, that's something to consider too. Like I also feel like I'm making an investment in having the end of my life be a lot better too, right?
Well, and honestly, like when you guys are in your 20s, I honestly think that if you really start taking good care of your bodies, you know, as early, the earlier the better, that you're going to be faster in your 40s. And
yeah,
you know, it's just kind of like investing money or anything, you know, just,
yeah,
it's so much better to start earlier than later, because like, if you start realizing at 60 that you're like pre-diabetic and
it's so much harder to do something about it.
There's not a whole lot you can do at that point, but you know, I think pretty much everyone listening to this, if they kind of can just commit to having good, healthy habits throughout their life, you know, it could completely change things when you're old like me.
Can you believe we're trying to like sell you on why you should be healthy? As if there's someone listening to this, like, I don't know, guys. I was going to start doing heroin and like hanging, you know, like, it's like, so it's, I've never moved. I'm going to change that. Like, why would you be listening to this if you had another opinion? Anyway,
okay.
We're like, how's the choir? You've been preached to enough?
Anyway. I guess we better end it. It was fun talking to you guys. Thanks for listening if you still are.
Do you think anyone still, I guess that's the function of the secret password, which is going to be what?
Ooh.
Cholesterol is the besterol. I don't know.
No, that would take too much typing. How about,
ooh. You tell us what HIF stands for other than healthy is fast. That'd be like high intensity fart or something. Make up your own HIF acronym and tell me what it stands for. How about that?
I like that actually.
All right.
But don't forget that it means healthy is fast too.
Kind of like TBY turned up meaning other things. Anyway. All right. Shout out Ewan Lamprecht. Anyway, everybody I was going to say be safe riding this week if you're going to, but I guess the storm's coming in. So maybe finally ski a little bit. You won't hit as many rocks like I did today. Everyone have a wonderful week. We will be coming to you next week with a fantastic interview with a very cool guest. So until then, see you at Zwift tomorrow.